Now, didn't that feel good? God said, daughter, I want you to celebrate me on Sunday. So that's what we're doing. We're celebrating him. You know, if you can't rejoice, if this bothers you, you'll never make heaven your home. They celebrate all the time in heaven. This doesn't take away your spirit by having a good time in the house of God, does it? Can you all hear me? Or just, I can't hear myself. All right. Yeah, now they can hear me. Now I can hear myself, too. I'm really, you know what, saints, as I was sitting there and you're all playing with the balloons and dancing and rejoicing, God said, I want them to rejoice now because there will come a day when there will be enough sorrow. So, you know, as the world grows darker and darker, you know, there's not going to be too much joy anywhere you go. And God's really, he's been having us party for about a year now. He wants us to get our joy built up where the enemy won't be able to steal our joy. And if you're walking around with a long face now, you're not going to make it when the gross darkness covers the earth. And so really what God is trying to do is he's just trying to get us ready for what's coming down the road. And you know, if the Christians can't smile when the gross darkness hits the earth, what are we going to do with the unsaved? You know, if we don't have any joy, what kind of hope are we going to give to the unsaved? And this is what you have to constantly think about. God, I don't know what you're going to use me to do when all this happens, but build me up so I'll be a ready vessel for you to work through. And, you know, spirit is calling unto spirit in this day and in this hour. And the enemy is really trying to tear down God's people. He's really fighting hard, tooth and nail, trying to tear down God's people. Don't let him tear you down. Don't let sadness be a part of your life, because God never meant for sadness to be a part of our life. We can go through trials, tribulations, afflictions, and we can suffer, but he wants us to have the joy of the Lord deep down inside. And he wants that joy to come bubbling up out of us, and so we can just be transferred to anybody you come in contact with. There will be days when we'll cry. I know that. Because every day isn't going to be happy, happy, happy. But we don't have to stay down in that hole. We can come back up out of that hole and we can go ahead and rejoice in the Lord. You know, if you've been allowing God to really work with you over the years, I'm saying 50 years, if you've been allowing him to work with you, you know you've been in some really rough places. Some of your valleys have been really super, some of our valleys have been really super deep. But God always brought us up out of those places of darkness. And he always brought us right into the glorious light. God is never changing. He is always going to do that. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And he wants us to have the joy of the Lord. I don't want you just to have the joy of the Lord one day. Then the next day, have nothing. God wants the joy of the Lord in you every single. You know, you can be talking about a problem, be really serious about that problem. But when you talk through your problem, you can have the joy of the Lord. You can be smiling and laughing and talking. You don't have to let that thing drag you down all day long. Somebody in here needs to hear that. You know, you just hold on to something and it's burying you. You need to talk about it, get it out, do whatever, and then let the joy of the Lord come bubbling up and just go on with life. Life goes on. It doesn't stop just because you have a little problem. Well, you say, well, my problems are big problems. Hey, you know, big, small, medium, in between, they're all problems. But still, no, we don't have to let our problems bury us. And I want you to, when you leave here today, I don't want you to quit rejoicing. I want you to just continue to rejoice, because this is Resurrection Sunday. You know, this is, you know, he's alive. I was studying the other night and I heard, he's alive, he's alive, rejoice. He's alive, he's alive, rejoice. And it just bubbled up in my spirit and God spoke and said, Sunday I went total celebration for me. I don't want nothing but celebration for me on Sunday. So whenever you go home, I want you to continue to celebrate. I don't care if you go to a restaurant to eat. I don't care what you do. I want you to continue to celebrate. I want you to let the world see what church is all about. Church is all about joy. Church is all about, you know, being happy, being content. Church is all about love. Do you understand that? And if we can't get that into our hearts individually, we aren't going to, you know, we do it individually and we make up the whole church. And if we can't get that into our hearts individually, how are we going to make the church? Isn't that right? And do you know why God's getting rid of some of the deadbeats right now, the old folk, you know? He's bringing fresh new life into the body of Christ. He wants people who are vibrant and alive. Maybe you might sit up here and do a little watusi. I don't know. But, you know, he's tired of the dead church. He's tired of no life in his church. If you read the Word of God, they had life. They had abundant life. And this is what God wants us to have. He wants us to have abundant life. I over the years, we've seen some things that weren't God. We can all say that. And we sat and shook our head. But still, no, that doesn't make the whole church wrong. You know, we used to have people come in here and act like they was going out in the spirit and lay on the floor and kick the wall. You know, that wasn't God. But, you know, we didn't stop church because of that. You know, people are going to be people. But you should be a child of God. You should be able to look at that kind of stuff and say, that's not you, God. And just pray that that person gets resurrected, you know, and just go on with life. Every one of our homes should be abuzz with the glory of God. Every one of our homes should be a place of joy and laughter. Every one of our homes should be a place where our doors are open and we just invite people in. And they'll know that you just enjoy God. Yeah, you know, that's the way we're supposed to be. That's the way it was in the book of Acts. So, some of you need to hear this, I guess, this morning. So you need to start opening up your doors of your homes and say, come on in, dirt and all. Come on in, because we just love the Lord. We don't have time to clean because we're too busy rejoicing in the Father. You know, whatever. We just need to learn to relax. Some of you in here don't know how to relax. You need to learn how to relax this morning. Just relax in the Lord and allow Him to do a great... We're going to do a baby dedication in just a minute, but God's going down this road, so I'm going to go with Him, all right? Because when you leave here today, He doesn't want to leave you sour. He wants you to leave here sour. He wants you to leave here with a brand new mindset that God is a God that's full of joy. I'll never forget the first time I saw the laughing picture of Jesus. I thought, oh, how horrible that is to have Jesus laughing like that. You know, God really got a hold of me, and I just loved that picture. But, you know, I thought that was sacrilegious. You know, I thought, that's terrible they're doing that. Well, why not? Jesus laughs, you know. In the Word, it talks about laughter. If you don't think that God isn't funny, just start having a relationship with Him. And you'll find out how funny He is. You'll find out how He likes to laugh and when He talks to you. You'll find out how He likes to rejoice. You'll find out that He cries with you. Come on. He's a God of love, mercy, full compassion. And He loves, and you know, and I'm tired of you saying, well, you don't know what I've done in life. Well, you don't know what I've done in life either. You know, so let's just forget what we did in life and let's just go ahead and serve God. This can be a brand new, this is Resurrection Sunday. I think God gave me a word this morning about, you know, supposed to be resurrected or something. But anyhow, this is Resurrection Sunday. God wants you to come out of your dead flesh and He wants you to come alive in brand new flesh that He wants to place upon you this morning. And if you'll just get into the joy of the Lord, I'm going to tell you your sin nature is going to leave you. It will. When you get into the joy of the Lord, your sin nature is going to leave you because you're not going to have any time to think about sin. You're going to be too busy just being happy. Wouldn't you like to be too busy being happy? Oh, we got the pink shirt in here tonight again. Praise God. Came rejoicing. Amen? You thought I forgot that, didn't you? Now, are y'all going to be happy from now on? Got the joy of the Lord deep down inside of your bones? Doesn't matter what your plans were for today. God came in and God did what He wanted to do, right? So we don't get upset because God changed the agenda, do we? It's God's service, right? And God can do whatever He wants to do. And He feels like changing the agenda, He can change the agenda. And He just decided He wanted y'all just to carry on. You know, sometimes, you know, you come into the house, God, you're so uptight, you need it. God needs to do something to loosen you up. Are we ready, God? Father God, I'm waiting on You. I just don't want to start this baby dedication till You're ready, Father. Father God, we just stand in Your very presence right now. I ask You, Father God, to complete the works that You've started right now. do what needs to be done to your people, Father. Let your holy angels touch the people as they sit in their seats right now. Let your glory fall upon them, Father. Let them sit at your footstool. Let them eat fresh manna from heaven at your table. And Father God, whatever their need is, I'm asking you this morning to meet it, Father. This is Resurrection Day. And you said old things are passed away and all things are becoming new today. So, Father God, we want you to get rid of all the old within our lives. We want you to refresh us, Father. Take us to that new spring of living waters that you speak about so often. Let us drink of the water of life, Father. And, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. You know, somebody's in here today, you really, really need to know that God loves you. He knows what your life was all about. He knows your heart. And he's reaching out to you this morning, and he just wants you to reach back to him. Because he wants to bring life, new life, where there was death. He wants to resurrect that person that he formed in the mother's womb, not the one that Satan has formed through the years. Just let him come into your heart this morning. Just let him do a brand new thing. Father, we just thank you for it. Irene and Tyler, do you want to bring the baby up, please? Right now is a very serious moment. God's really working on somebody's heart right now. Please open up your heart for God to come in. How do you pronounce the last name? Fadley, okay. Now, do you want... Who's a godparent? You want them to stand up here? Meshach and Sylvia, would you come up and stand with them, please? Isn't this a precious baby boy? Look at this. She always has beautiful children. I think it starts with beautiful stock, right? The Lord. Parents bring their child... It is our great honor today to participate in the public dedication of Mickey Tyler Thomas Fadley, born on December 7, 2014. Following the example of devout parents of the Bible, Tyler and Irene have expressed their desire to present Mickey Tyler Thomas Fadley to their Lord. Jesus demonstrated his acceptance and love for the little children when he said in Matthew 19:13, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Children are a gift from God. Psalm 127:3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like our arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." As believers, we are called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. God in his goodness gives children as gifts to parents. And you know, God told me that one time, Irene and Tyler, he said, "These children are not yours, they're mine, and I'm giving them to you to raise up in my ways, and I'll hold you accountable for how you raised them on Judgment Day." All right, that child is God's child, and he gave him to you and Tyler to raise. They not only have the awesome responsibility of caring for this gift, but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift. So enjoy him. God wants him to be an enjoyment to you. Because children belong to God and are given by grace as gifts to parents, it is only proper and appropriate that children be dedicated back to God. We are told in 1 Samuel 1 that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. In Luke 2:22, we read that Mary and Joseph brought their baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him before the Lord. In the same way, Tyler and Irene have brought Mickey Tyler Thomas Fadley, presenting first themselves and then their son before the Lord our God. This is a charge to the parents. Tyler and Irene, I call your attention to the commandments of God recorded in Holy Scripture in Deuteronomy 6:4-7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Ephesians 6:4 says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And you know, I see a lot of fathers provoking their children to wrath, and that really upsets the Lord, Tyler. He doesn't expect you to do that. God's instructions are very plain. That's another charge to the parents. As a sign of his spiritual headship in the family, Irene, will you please... Oh, you were supposed to be holding the baby. Well, that's okay. Sorry. As a sign of his spiritual headship in the family, Irene, will you please give Mickey Tyler Thomas Fadley to his father? I'm used to the mothers carrying it up there, so I never even thought about that. Do you, Tyler, as father of Mickey Tyler Thomas Fadley, by your own free will, desire to offer Mickey Tyler Thomas Fadley to the Lord? Do you, Tyler, vow to be the head of your family, serving as priest, provider, and protector, to love Mickey Tyler Thomas Fadley and to bring him up in the fear and admonition of the Lord? Do you, Irene, as mother of Mickey Tyler Thomas Fadley, by your own free will, desire to offer him to the Lord? Do you, Irene Fadley, vow to be a God-fearing mother to Mickey Tyler Thomas Fadley, bringing him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Finally, I'm going to speak to the godparents and the church. Finally, I ask that the church make a vow as well. As believers in the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to teach a gospel story to our younger generation. In fact, the Old Testament prophet Joel commands us to tell of God's work to your children and let your children tell to their children and their children to the next generation. And you'll find that in Joel chapter 1, verse 3. There's no proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. Parents have first responsibility, but parents need the help and support of the community. So I direct my questions now to the church. And church, will you please stand? Having come freely, I ask now that you make the following commitment before God and those who stand before you, so that Mickey Tyler Thomas Fadley may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you vow by God's help to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ to help Tyler and Irene be faithful to God and to help teach and train Mickey Tyler Thomas Fadley in the ways of the Lord so that he might one day trust him as Savior and Lord? If you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying we do. Do you two do that also? Now I'm holding you two accountable that to watch over them. And if you see them going the wrong way, you need to tell them, hey, you got to turn around. All right? You can sit down. You want to hand me the baby? Give me the baby, honey. Thank you. You come on up here. He's heavy. You better take that lid off of there. How old is he? Wow. Wow. Thank you, Father. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I dedicate this baby to you. You gave him to his parents. Now we freely give him back to you. Father, watch over him. Lead God and direct his footsteps from this moment forward. Touch the parents, Father. Let them have your heart. And Father God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. No wonder he carried him up here. Tyler and Irene, in that you have dedicated your son to the Lord, we now lend Mickey Tyler Thomas Bailey back to you, that if by the grace of God and the guiding presence of the Holy Spirit, you will bring him up in the ways of the Lord. I want you two to know that this is a great privilege for me. God is very happy with your decisions. And he's going to be with you to raise this child. And I'm hearing God say he's going to be a prophet of the Most High God. So be very gentle with him. Lead God and direct him with a gentle hand. And teach him of my ways. Here's your baby dedication. Let's give him a hand this morning. I forgot to ask, did you want to say anything? I'm more happier than you are. You know, when you see people struggle, and you know what God has said, and then you see it all come to pass, it makes you very happy. How many of you know that the minute you get a child, the enemy's there to try to take it? He's right there trying to take that child and to twist it and turn it so he can use it. And this is why God admonishes us to really take care of our children, keep them covered. It really admonishes the father. Isn't it awesome how children will look up to their father? I mean, you know, the mother's there always cuddling, always, but they want to run to the father. That's a natural instinct from heaven. They expect that father to protect them, to love them, to guide them. And in this, we know that in this dispensation we live in right now, there aren't very many fathers in the world. A whole lot of children, but no fathers. The fathers have disappeared somewhere, you know, into the mesh. And children are just running amok. And we have a mess in our hands right now with the children. So we need to be praying for the children all over the world. Praying that the fathers will be true fathers and train their children up in the ways of the Lord. All right, this morning I'm going to teach on He is Alive. How many know He's alive? Tonight I'm going to teach on how many people witnessed Jesus whenever He came out of the grave. I was shocked how many did. And there's, you know, so there's proof that Jesus died and He's alive. He walked on the earth and He ministered to people before He went back to heaven. I'm surprised at how many people don't believe that there is even a Jesus. They don't even believe that He even died or is alive. They just don't believe anything. It's up to you and I as children in the house of God to take the word to the people, to the lost and to the dying. It's up to you and I to carry the Spirit of God within us that we draw people unto Christ. And see, the problem is when you have the Spirit of God in you, people are drawn to that Spirit in you, but you get all full of pride and you think they're drawn to you. And then this is where the church goes off balance. If people are drawn to you, it's not you, it's the Christ that's in you. And now your job is to lead those people to Christ. Give them what you have. And what you should have inside of you is the Lord Jesus Christ. John 19:28 says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It is finished. What did Jesus mean? Jesus' announcement, it is finished, is clear and simple. Jesus has completed his task. The reason why he came as a human has been fulfilled. He came so that you and I can have forgiveness and salvation, reconciliation, restoration of the friendship between God and humanity. He came to give us the victory. He came to ensure that we would enter his kingdom and live forever. Clear and simple, Jesus has completed his task. The just anger of a holy God had been laid upon Jesus during the closing hours of his life. Now this fearful suffering was finished. The price has been paid. Man's salvation has been earned. Sin is blotted out. Reconciliation is complete. Everlasting righteousness is brought in. I don't care how much you have wandered away from the path that God first put your feet upon. At any given moment, you can turn and get back on that path where God wants you to be. Jesus paid the ultimate price for your sin. And whenever you say, I've sinned too much, then you're saying what Jesus went through was not enough. Nobody has sinned so much that they can't turn around and come back to Christ. There's just nowhere in my word do I ever read that. What happens is Satan works on your mind, and he tries to make you believe that what you've done is so dirty and so vile that God can never receive you back into his bosom, and that is a lie. Why do you think God put the prodigal son in the Bible? He put the story of the prodigal son in the Bible so that we would have hope and know that we too can come back to the living Savior. And I want each one of you in here this morning who think that you can't go back. You can go back. But don't linger on the edge of the path until it's too late. For the first 3 hours on the cross, Jesus was our great high priest. From noon till 3, during which time a strange and terrible darkness came over the earth, the high priest became the sacrifice. And being made sin for us, and literally taking the sins of the world upon himself, Jesus became a vile and loathsome thing, cut off from God and man, not just in time, but also in eternity. Man could not get into the sepulcher, but the holy angels could. Did you ever think about that? Man could not roll that stone away, but the holy angel, well, we know angels can do anything. But man tried and man could not do that. Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the Lord, see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And he said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out. I thought it was awesome that God even had an angel sitting there waiting to give them instructions, telling them exactly what happened and what to do. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, if you read the story about Jesus, before this all started, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 26:32, "But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." He already told him what he was going to do when he was raised up, and now he's saying, "Tell them to go to Galilee again." How many of you know that sometimes we don't hear what God's saying to us? And so he has to repeat himself over and over and over again. And he'll keep repeating himself over and over again until you actually understand what he's saying to you. Jesus said, "In betrayal, I love you." Luke 22:47-48. "And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before him and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, 'Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?'" And Jesus is saying to us today, "Beloved one, I am love that will not let you go. To those of you who have walked in the pain of betrayal from dear ones you have trusted and loved, I release the grace to overcome such pain and crushing disappointment." This is really a prophetic word from God, all right? "My love is more than you will ever need to forgive betrayal." See, when you say, "I can't forgive," God's saying, he just now said, "You can. Reach deep inside of me and find a place of forgiveness from which to draw upon. Rest your souls in me. Let me cover the scars of betrayal with the healing power of my love. Be not battle weary, but allow me to kiss away the effects of the lies, the greed, and the fear from others that led to your betrayal." How many of us have gotten here, become battle weary? And God's saying, don't do that. You have shared in my cup of suffering so that you might also share in my cup of joy. See what he said? You know, all Christians are going to suffer. And he says, you've done that so you can share in his cup of joy. So when he says, rejoice and be joyful, he knows what he's talking about because he's been there. My heart overflows with love for you. My love is freedom. My love is unchanging and all-powerful. And the pulling down of strongholds that would keep you from flowing fully in my grace. My love is your storehouse in times of great need. Child of my heart, I love you. Betrayal is overcome by the cross. I don't care what anybody's done to you, and I mean this with every fiber of my being. The cross covered all that. It really did. In denial, I love you. Luke 22:60. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Then Peter went out and wept bitterly. For those who have walked as a prodigal and have turned from me in denial, who have believed the lie of the enemy that you are too much of a sinner to return to me, child of my own, I will never reject you. I am waiting with outstretched arms to receive those who will return with earnest hearts, humble and genuine and seeking to be reconciled to your Father in heaven. Your denial of me is embraced in my grace and your rejection swallowed up in my mercy. I wait for your response to my invitation sealed at the cross of Calvary by my blood. I am love that never changes. I am love that cannot fail you. I am love that has overcome the power of death and sin. Where sin abounds, grace shall speak a better word than the blood of Abel. Return to me and experience restoration. Child of my own, I am your reconciler. Walk again in the paths of righteousness. Allow me to overshadow you with the power of my forgiving love so that you might walk in freedom and in truth as a legitimate son and heir. Child of my own, I love you. Denial is overcome by the cross. You know, the other night I was laying in bed praying, and there's somebody I know, and I felt such a love for that person. I mean, it totally, completely consumed me. And all I could do was lay there and weep and weep and weep. And see, I don't like that because when that happens, that person usually gets into trouble. But I was sitting, you know, studying the other day, and God said, the love that you felt the other night is my true love. It's a love that totally and completely engulfs. And I had never felt such love for anybody in all my life like I felt for that person. I mean, the love of God is so real. It's so tangible, and it goes so deep. So don't allow the enemy to make you believe that God does not love you. I mean, this person is backslidden, too. And don't allow the enemy to make you believe that there's no way back to the cross, because there's always a way back to the cross. Always. Always. Because God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He goes on to say, through ridicule, insult, and mockery, I love you. Luke 22:63. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on his face, and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that struck you? And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. When you have been insulted, ridiculed, and mocked, and when you have been reviled for my name's sake, know this, my precious child, I love you. This is where the body of Christ fails. He said, when you have been insulted, ridiculed, and mocked, and when you have been reviled for my name's sake. See, when we go through all these things, we don't realize we're going through those because we love the Lord. We just get this self-pity thing, and we just think people are coming against us. And really what they're coming against is God within us. But he says, when you go through all this, know that this, that I love you. I am the healer of every wound. I am the love of eternity that guards your heart and mind and wraps around you when life assails and batters you. He said, I am the healer of every wound. I am the love of eternity that guards your heart and mind and wraps around you when life assails and batters you. When the enemy draws near and you feel overwhelmed, I am love that flows as a never-ending river to refresh you and to be a precious ointment on your wounds. I will never leave you or forsake you. For you I died, for you I rose again, and for you my heart is ever moved in compassion and righteousness. For you I gave all that you might walk in the fullness of knowing me and be empowered to experience transformation and become a nation changer to the glory of my Father. Child of my own, I love you. Ridicule, insult, and mockery are overcome by the cross. I don't think that the body of Christ understands that when God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, he meant every word that he said. You know, you can be in the deepest sin and God is right there with you. He is right there and his holy angels are protecting you because he does not want you lost. He does not want you undone, but he wants you one day to sit in heavenly places with him. It would be a terrible world to live in if Jesus went through all that he went through, and then we couldn't come back again. We'd make a mistake and we would just be sitting there rotting, knowing that there's no hope for us. But see, that's not true. There's hope. There's always hope for us to return back to the Father. So whatever you've done, however deep or dark you think it might be, it's never too deep, too dark to come back to God. He's a God that forgives. He's a God that forgets. He doesn't hold grudges. He's not human, in other words. He's our Father who loves us. Where men have not believed that you are a sent one, I love you. Luke 22:66. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" And he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. When men have not believed whom I have called you to be," and a lot of you need to understand, if God has called you into the ministry, you're going to live a life where people are going to say, "You're not of God. Who do you think you are?" So if God does an extraordinary thing when he calls you, cherish it with every fiber of your being, because you're going to have to hold on to that all the time you walk with God. There's always going to be the people out there that's going to say, "You're not God. You did this. You did that. We know you." Just like they said about Jesus, "He was just a carpenter's son. How can he be the Messiah?" They're going to say to you, "Well, I knew you when." I don't care if they knew you when. They know you now too. And all that is the enemy trying to make you go back from whence you came. "When men have not believed whom I have called you to be, I call you now to lay down that burden and the pain of rejection, for I am reestablishing my people in their destiny and in their gifting. What I have established, no man, no weapon formed against you, demon, ruler, power, or principality may take from you." I'm going to stop there and just say right now, if God has called you, if God has really called you, nothing on this earth is going to stop that calling except you. God has already preordained what he's going to do with your life. He's already spoken to you about what he wants to do with your life. You know in your heart what he wants to do in your life. But the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. You have to believe God or you're going to be lost. God said, "My authority is irrefutable. Believe in me and believe in the one who sent me. Believe in my faithfulness. Trust in me and listen to my voice. The darkness cannot overpower the light of Christ in you." The darkness cannot overcome the power of Christ within you. Every now and then he can make your light get a little dim, but he can't blow it out. That light's always going to be there inside of you. It's always going to be there waiting to get brighter and brighter and brighter. "All hell trembles because I have walked the sanctified path of sacrifice to the cross in obedience to my Father. Child of my heart, I love you, and my love will position you in covenant grace to walk in the footsteps that I have decreed and ordained so that the purposes and plans of my heart be fulfilled in your life. Rejection is overcome by the cross." In doing deliverances, rejection is always one of the major spirits that we deal with. Why is that? is because Satan knows if he can get rejection rooted deep within your spirit, he has you. Do not allow rejection to take any root within side of you. You need to understand that people rejected Jesus too. But that did not stop him from going to the cross. That did not stop him from fulfilling his destiny. He went ahead and did what he had to do, knowing that his Father sent him. Well, that's Jesus. No, he was man. He was a man. See, I always tell you, I know that God called me. Because God made a special thing happen where I would always know that, because he knew that people were going to reject me, that people were going to say I wasn't called to God, that people were going to say, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do the other. But because of what God did, I know. See, you have to have that knowing down in your spirit man. You know, God doesn't have to show you a special sign. You just have to know down in your spirit man that you were called of God. And God is using you, and the enemy's very upset over the fact that you have yielded yourself totally and completely to God. Over the past 2 years, a lot of things have happened to the body of Christ. You know, people who just love the Lord with all their heart, all of a sudden they found themselves little by little by little, you know, being pulled away from the things of God. And now God has gotten people's attention, and now they're coming back again. Saints of God, don't let the enemy pull you away again. I went through the same thing. Don't let the enemy pull you away ever again. Don't yield yourself to anything that he brings your way. If the enemy says, you're going to miss the glory, y'all laugh in his face. And no, I'm not. Because if I wasn't, you wouldn't have just said that to me. You're trying to make me believe your lie. Are you listening? See, whatever he tells you is going to happen, say, you just overplayed your hand. Now, I know that's not going to happen in my life. I lost my place. When you have been falsely accused, I love you. Luke 23. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to curse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Beloved child of my own, you who have experienced the searing pain of false accusation, know that your reward is in heaven. That sounds really good, doesn't it? But it really doesn't help when you're right here in this earth and you're falsely accused of something and it really messes up your whole life. It just doesn't help. You know, you just have to keep on going, knowing that one day when you go to heavenly places, you know, that'll all be over. But you have to deal with that thing here in this earth. How many people are falsely accused, let's just say, of murder? And they never, but then that stigma, even though then they are, you know, freed from it, that stigma's still there. You still have that record in the police department. And that people still pull on that kind of stuff. But he said, beloved child of my own, you who have experienced the searing pain of false accusation, know that your reward is in heaven. Blessed are you when people falsely accuse you and persecute you for my name's sake. See, you're blessed when all that goes on. Rejoice and be glad, for you are walking in the footsteps of the heroes of faith who have gone before you to blaze a trail with their surrendered hearts, the shout of my love. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How long has God been telling us to do that? I think we're getting it down though, aren't we? Yeah, I think we're finally learning how to do that, and God's happy with that. Draw from the well of my endless love so that you may be called sons of your Father in heaven. What did I tell you? I said, when you can't love somebody, you have to say, God, I really can't love them, and you're going to have to love them through me. And you know, as you do that, next thing you know, you're going to be able to love that person all on your own. Because God's going to take all that stuff out of you that won't let you love that person. God says, my love will set the captives free. My love will disempower the assignments of the enemy and annul the evil agendas of hell. My love will draw the multitudes to my Father as the multitudes see the power of my love at work in you. Cast your anxiety upon me. Set your heart free and abandon love to me. You know, if you're married for the second time, sometimes the children won't accept you, and, you know, they start saying evil things about you. You're just going to have to grin and bear it. You're just going to have to grit your teeth and go on, because you know that God's called you to do this thing, and you can't help if everybody in the family doesn't accept you, that some rejects you. You know, that's just the way of life. I run across a lot of that, you know, in ministering to people. I ran across that in my own life. I am what I am. You knew what I was, and I haven't changed. And if you can't love me or receive me, then, you know, there's nothing I can do about it, right? So you just go on. It's just, like Jesus, people won't receive Jesus either, will they? They reject him. They know, but, you know, we always see how he's beat. I don't think people believe that. I really don't. You know, they read about everything that Jesus does, but still they reject him. You know, quit trying to get people to like you. You know, just quit. And just go on and serve the Lord. Cast your anxiety upon me. Set your heart free and abandon love to me. You love because I first loved you. Isn't that why you love people? Because God loves you, isn't that right? And because he loves you, and you know, you weren't always squeaky clean. But still, he loved you, right? So then, you know, we need to look at other people and love them just where they're at. And love them through their difficult times. Greater love is being poured out on my bride. For my greater love is a fountainhead and source of global harvest. Without my love, you have nothing. Allow my love to become your all in all. And in this way, my church will become unstoppable in the flow of the miracle provision of heaven. Child of my own, I love you. False accusation is overcome by the cross. I just wish that we could really quit wanting people to like us. I really do. Because that's one of the biggest stumbling blocks that Satan puts in our path. If somebody doesn't like us, we get all upset about it. If somebody just really disagrees with us, we just can't understand why they can't believe what we tell them because it is gospel. We just need to walk past that. They didn't receive Jesus either, did they? See, I can say all this because I went through all this junk, and God said to me, get up, get your word, read everything my son went through, and then come back to me and complain. So guess what I did? I got the word, I read everything that happened to Jesus, and I didn't go back to God about it at all, period. Because he went through a whole lot more than I ever went through. Are you understanding this? Just be thankful that you're a child of God. You know, so your job is just to work your way to heaven, right? And if they don't want to go with you, that's fine. That's fine. But you just keep loving and you just keep working. You just keep climbing and one day you'll get there. And who knows, you might turn around and hear they come and say, oh, we decide to follow you. We're watching you. We decide what you're doing is all right, so we're going to follow you. They're really not following you. They're following the Christ in you, so don't ever forget that. When you choose to carry the cross, I love you. Luke 23. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Beloved child of my own, seize the moment when my love manifests in your life. Read that again. Beloved child of my own, seize the moment when my love manifests in your life. Allow yourself to become one with me in the expression of my love. As you surrender to my love, I will give you a testimony that will touch the hearts of your communities, your cities, and your nations if you will choose to walk in the overshadowing power of my love. My cross is raised up so that my resurrection love and power will manifest in the nations, causing millions to be won in salvation. How are we going to win the world? You know, they're going to see the love of God. You're right. They're going to see the love of God in us. And they're going to know what we've gone through. Brother Allen said our testimony, which is true. They're going to see what we've gone through and what we are going through, but they'll still see the love of Christ in us, and they'll see us loving the unlovable, and they're going to want what you have. You know, you plaster that little smile on your face, but your guts are being torn out of you, but just plaster that smile on your face and you keep on loving. And God will take that all away. All that hurt and all that pain, he'll take it all away. Causing the hearts of the heartless to become soft in my grace. Causing the prisoners, talking about his love, causing the prisoners to be set free. The lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak of my love. Holy love is flowing from my heavenly seat of righteousness and justice. All of heaven declares, worthy is the Lamb who was slain from the foundations of the world. Earth is echoing the heaven's glory declaration. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against my church. Triumph in purity and in righteousness. Satan cannot triumph in your life because God is in you. God is around about you. He's working on your behalf. He said he sent the angelic host to work, to fight your battles for you. So what if people think you should be down on the floor, beating the floor and screaming and crying because of your situation, but instead you're standing tall and firm and you're smiling and you're loving and you really mean it and you're going forth. That's a true child of God. Why don't we go there? Why don't we go there this morning? Because Jesus paid the ultimate price for us to be a child of God just like Jesus was. Some of you, God's telling me some of you are sitting here so full of regrets you can't hardly stand yourself. He said, give all those regrets to me right now. Just give all those regrets to him right now. I've had regrets in my life. Everybody in this room has had regrets in their life. Things they've thought or did, you know, or said. You just wished you wouldn't have done those things, but you did. Knowing you shouldn't have, but you did. One time I gossiped and I said, oh God, I said, let those words drop to the ground. Don't let them take root. I shouldn't have done that. And, you know, he did. But, you know, I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did. I can't let that thing beat me over the head and destroy my ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We have to forgive and forget ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves and then forget our faults and our flaws and march on with him. Mantled by, in my agape, my church, that's love, my church shall rise up to serve, to give, and to love with my everlasting love. Child of my own, I love you. I carried you at the cross so that you might become an overcomer. How many of you in here this morning, you don't feel like you're an overcomer? Yes, you are. Because he's alive. He's not dead. He's very much alive. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for you day and night. I bet sometimes he would wish he would just get it right. Because he's ever interceding for you. This is a prophetic word. I really wanted to see it. God went all out of way, didn't he? This is a prophetic word I really wanted to read to you before I started. He gave it to me on April the 2nd. He said, there are many things, this is for the church, there are many things my son did for you, but one thing he did not do is go against your will. This coming Sunday, you celebrate Resurrection Sunday. But do you really believe my son rose again? I am encouraging you to once again set your sights on the heavenly realm where my son is seated and expect the unexpected to occur in your life. Why not make this a day of total celebration and total liberty? Why not sit in the heavenlies and be empowered from on high and then go forth and watch me, your Father, work miracles through you? I am waiting and Resurrection Sunday is coming. Why not just do that? Why just not let him work through you? I'm going to tell you right now, the Satan is fighting tooth and nail. He's doing everything he can possibly do to try to make you believe you're never going to make heaven your home. He's trying to make you to believe your sins are so dark and so vile that, you know, God can never forgive you. God wants to forgive you. Jesus Christ went to the cross for your sins. God wants to restore you to wholeness once again, even today, on Resurrection Day. Why not be resurrected from the dead today? Why not allow God to just take you up into the heavenly places in his arms and show you heavenly things? Why not? You know, religion is dead. There is no more religion. God told us a couple years ago, religion has no place in this mighty move that he's doing. It is spirit calling to spirit. So, and if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to be in the spirit so you can hear what God's saying to you. Because God said right now, I'm hearing him say, this is a divine dispensation. And for you to hear me, you're going to have to know me. And to know me, you're going to have to walk in my spirit. And you've got to be filled with my spirit. If you know me, you won't be lonely. If you know me, you will never walk alone. If you know me, you will love all those around about you. Don't you want to get to know me? You know, he's saying, don't you want to get to know me? Don't you want to know who I am, what I am, and what I'm about? The most wonderful conversation you ever have is the one with the Father. It produces so much fruit. And when you talk to another human being, it sometimes produces sour grapes, doesn't it? But when you sit down and you talk to your father and he talks to you, it's the most wonderful thing in the world. If you say, well, I've never had God talk to me. God wants to talk to you now. He really does want to open up your spiritual ears. And I'm praying right now that God will open up every spiritual ear in here that's never heard his voice so that you'll hear his voice. He's not going to shout and scream at you. It's going to be in a real still, small voice. I'm deaf. He can overcome deafness. He can talk very softly. Believe me, you don't want him to raise his voice at you. You really don't. Because when he does, you know you just did something wrong. So how many of you in here today, you don't have to raise your hands. I just want you to think to yourself, how many of you in here today, you have not had the privilege of hearing God's voice, but you would sure like to hear his voice? You would sure like to have him instruct you and tell you what to do and how to do it and when to do it. If that's the case, then you're a prime candidate this morning. I'm just telling you what God's saying. You're a prime candidate this morning because he's going to come to you and he's going to start speaking to you, and it's going to blow your mind what he's going to say to you. Some of you are going to run to your husband and wife and say, guess what I just heard? And then you won't want to not ever hear God's voice again. See, I've always known what it was to hear God's voice, and then for a few years I didn't hear his voice. And he told me before he took it away he wasn't going to be talking to me. That's about the driest, deadest place you ever want to be, not hearing the voice of the Father. And I was so happy whenever he started talking again. And like I said, right now is a perfect time for you to start listening for the voice of God, because he's very gabby right now. He's talking a whole lot right now. And so if you'll just listen, he'll tell you. You know what, I'm just believing right now that he's going to tell you something very personal that nobody knows about except you. You think only you, but God does know it. And he's going to start talking to you about that personal thing. And that's going to be a sign and a wonder to you that you really did just hear God's voice. And it's going to set you on, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God say. He said it's going to set you on fire for him, and your whole life is going to change. Nothing about you is ever going to be the same. Nothing is ever going to be mundane ever again, because you're going to be so excited you can't stand it. So are you ready for that day? Today's the day. Resurrection day. God's resurrecting your ears. He's washing all the old wax out. All right? So that you can hear very clearly what he's saying to you. How many of you say, well, you know, you have to talk a little louder because I can't quite hear. But I'll tell you, when God speaks to you, you hear. You hear. People said to me, God doesn't speak to me. And one time God said, oh, yes, I do. They just don't want to hear what I have to say. So maybe some of you... Alrighty, thank you for being honest. Maybe some of you in here today, you know, God is speaking, but you don't like what he's saying, so you're saying, pushing that aside. Well, he's not going to quit. He's going to keep talking until he gets your attention. Yes. Yeah, you need a microphone here somewhere.
The whole service, the Lord's been putting it on my heart to say this, and I really didn't want to, but since this service is exactly what Pastor Barbara's talking about, I always pray to hear God's voice, and I always think that I don't, that it's just my conscience telling me, you know, I should do this, or I should do that, or, you know, I really don't hear God's voice. About 2 weeks ago, I work for K Jewelers. I got offered a position, or offered being considered for a position in Virginia, and it was a really nice position. And I prayed about it, and I heard God's voice clear as day. This is not what I want for you. Do not go. But it's what I wanted, and so I was like, oh, that's not God's voice. That's not God's voice, and. I prayed about it more and heard clear as day, this is not what I want for you. Do not go. So finally I prayed, and I know you're not supposed to, you know, whatever it's called, tempt God or you know, ask God. But I said, God, I said, if you want me to have it, you'll give it to me. If you don't, I won't get it. So I'm very good at my job, and my store is one of the best stores that there is. For 1 week, we did not make anything. Like, our goals, our everything was just going backwards. I mean, literally, everything went backwards. That was the decision that they used when they did not offer me the position. The very next day, we had to do $22,000 in one day. We did 30. After I was not offered the position. And we've made every day since. So it just shows you how, if you're truly listening, he'll do exactly what he wants you to do.
Amen. Amen. Some of you in here this morning, that there's something wrong in your life, and you just don't really have the joy of the Lord the way you should, especially on Easter Sunday. And I know I was thinking today, well, Easter falls in March, it falls in April, but Jesus died on one certain day, it doesn't matter. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus is alive, and he is very well, and he is well able to do whatever you have need of in your life. So if there's those in here that there's just things in your life that just aren't going right, and you've really lost some hope, and you're a little bit discouraged, if you want to come forward, we'll pray with you this morning.